Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it. Today we are in John chapter 15, and today there is quite a bit of symbolism, and then there's also quite a bit of straight up Jesus telling it exactly how it is. So the chapter is kind of split in two today. We'll be talking about Jesus referring to himself as the true vine, and then how the world will view us for what we believe.
It's really interesting, coming off of yesterday's episode. If you didn't listen to that, I encourage you to go back and check it out. Jesus is saying in John chapter 14 what it means to love him. And when you actually love Jesus, you obey his commandments, you do what he says, you do what the Father says. Today, I feel like he's continuing on that idea, because he's talking about abide, 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 abide. I was counting them up and then I lost count, but he says abide a lot, basically saying, like, you need to be in constant relationship with me to be able to accomplish this.
So the first part is talking about Jesus referring to himself as the true vine. So he talks about being this vine that the Father is the vine dresser of. And what essentially is going on is Jesus is referring to each of us as a branch of this vine, has either the opportunity to continue on with kind of like what Ryan was saying, to grow in who God calls us to be by reading his word, following his commandments, and continuing to grow on that branch and be pruned back and continue to grow fruit, or to not do any of those things and be cut off and thrown into the fire. So we've actually heard some of this language before when we've heard about the farmer with his chaff and all of these things, that whatever is left over will be burnt. Mm-hmm. All the good will be put off to the side. So just again, this idea of if you're not doing what God says, judgment will come upon you and you will be burned in that unquenchable fire.
You know, so first of all, Jesus using this vine dresser imagery, this would have been commonly understood to normally stand for Israel, like how God handled Israel. God is the vine dresser. He cares for Israel, his people. I think that's mentioned in Isaiah 5. I think it's mentioned in Psalm 80. So Jesus is kind of adapting that. It's a little bit scandalous that he's applying it to himself, that he is the vine and we are the branches. But one of the things that I appreciated, and it might sound a little bit odd, but he says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So there's an idea of judgment there. Mm-hmm. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So that is interesting to me, because it's like, if you're growing in your faith and your relationship with Jesus, there is going to be this pruning that occurs. There's other passages of scripture that talk about, like, God disciplines those he loves, like a father disciplines a son.
Right.
So it's this idea of, like, Jesus is caring for us and pruning us. There's, like, there's some pain, there's some loss involved in pruning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the whole point is that we become more effective and more fruitful. So we should actually welcome these pruning moments. And I think, like, this is me kind of going on an extra credit rant. I won't say rant, but I think that is why we actually need, like, really solid Christian influences in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because I think God often accomplishes pruning through mature Christian believers that know what our lives are like. Lately, in our time and culture, we're really good at putting, like, a false picture of ourselves out there, so people just see all the good things that we know and all the good things we do. But it is really important to have other good Christian influences that really know us, that really know, like, how is your marriage actually doing? How are your kids actually doing? What's your personal life and struggle actually like? So that they can speak into you and help you to be pruned. I think that's one of the ways that God prunes us. And if you don't have that, I think you should seek it out.
Well, I think, too, the idea of pruning something, if you know anything about gardening, which I know little.
But we're learning more, guys.
But pruning is, like, not even just for gardening, but also for, like, flowers. I know I have killed many, or not even not not killed, but some of my own flowers have not survived because I didn't actually follow the pruning rules, and certain branches just like kind of kept going and took over, whereas other parts of the plant weren't able to sustain itself because everything was going to that one shoot. Whereas if I would have pruned it back, it would have given an opportunity for more growth to happen. So just thinking of it in that way too, like it is painful to be like, oh, but I don't want to cut this back because it's actually kind of pretty. Like if we actually do cut it back and allow for more growth everywhere, it actually gives like a more bountiful and beautiful plant. That also being said, I think the idea of thinking about a branch that does get cut off, like, you know, anybody that knows anything about cutting off a branch, as soon as that happens, that branch is dead. Like there's no coming back. There's no putting it back on. It's gone. So I think even having the imagery too, then, of being connected to who Jesus is, having that like life source coming from him, that's the only way that that branch is able to sustain, because it has life coming from the rest of the vine.
That's right. Like as a branch, you're not actually the source of life. You're just the evidence of the life that's already there. If you look at, this is another verse I really like. If you look at verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So again, he's saying like, in order to abide in me, you have to know what I said and you have to do what I said. You will abide.
There's a lot of abiding.
Sorry, I'll just start from the top. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That one got my attention too, because it's like, oh, it's actually possible to have joy in Jesus that is not complete and is not full. Like part of our obedience to Christ actually brings us to a place of fuller, more complete joy. And part of that process is pruning. So if you're like, if you're ignoring what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, if you're allowing part of your life to be outside of God's control, if you're keeping a hold of things that you should be letting go of, you're actually removing joy from your life, because Christ is trying to make your joy complete in him. Why would you resist that? Like, don't resist that.
And it reminds me of the parable of the sower, which I feel like I've heard a bazillion times. But I think it's important, because there are some that truly are excited when they hear it, but don't have the right things or don't care to invest in the right things in order to keep that joy or make that joy complete, because they're not like tapping into the life source that is Jesus by continually learning more from him, from his word, and all the things.
So Jesus then moves into this really interesting piece about how much the world is going to hate you, essentially how much the world hates him and how much the world will hate you by extension. Now, this is like Jesus speaking immediately to his disciples. So he's telling his disciples about the conflict that's coming, basically. But it's also John choosing to highlight this for first century Christians. So John is doing this interesting thing where he's teaching what Jesus taught, but he's also encouraging people who weren't there, right? That like, we can be encouraged by this. We can learn by this. And I think what he's trying to teach people is like, yeah, like we're not like the world. We have a different value set. We have a different outlook on life, the way we make different decisions. We have different relationships, and it's not always going to be rainbows and unicorns all the time.
Yeah, I think you're right about saying those things about, like, it's not going to be wonderful all the time. And I think that was kind of what the disciples were feeling, that tension from yesterday's episode. Like, wait, if you leave, what are we going to do? And he reminds again, Jesus reminds them again in verse, let's see, is it 28? No, 26. It says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And I think it's just, it's interesting that he uses that other person again to give them comfort. Like, you haven't experienced it yet, but although the world will hate you, you will be able to bear witness because this Holy Spirit will be here to help you.
It's interesting that he talks about the Holy Spirit in the context of the world hating you, because a lot of the first century believers, and I think a lot of believers even today, like it's easy for us to live in vacuums and assume that nobody's suffering for Christ, when actually a lot of people all around the world are suffering for Christ. He is reminding his audience that the Holy Spirit will come, and even when the world hates you, you will have what you need because the Spirit will empower you. I think it's really important. Like, I just reading over these passages, I've worked in ministry, like I worked in church as a pastor for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like so many of our decisions corporately as a church were actually endeavoring to make sure the world didn't hate us. And it's important you understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that we should like go out picking fights, right? Like we should not go out and just like stir up controversy for the sake of controversy.
Right.
But we should not compromise so that fallen people far from God still like us. And I think so much of the Christian life, part of what's challenging about it, is it's really easy to compromise and it's really easy to water it down. Mm-hmm. So me as a youth pastor, I would say like in the first 8 years of my ministry, I was kind of like all about all the stuff that was like, yeah, let's do parties, let's give prizes, let's like,
draw
let's just,
people in.
Yeah, like essentially the philosophy was, let's do whatever we can to get people in seats. And probably the last 2 years of working as a youth pastor, I was like, whoa, like there is no fruit for my ministry. Like, and that's, I guess that's kind of extreme terms. Like I saw fruit from my ministry, but a lot of students fell away because I was not actually giving them the gospel. I was giving them AirPods and like mm-hmm. games on a wheel and Xboxes. And like there's a popular quote that whatever you win them with is what you win them to. And what we saw was really interesting. Like when we decided like, you know what, actually we're going to try to align our youth ministry with what Jesus taught. We grew the ministry down from like 200 to like 50. And it was like, I heard somebody say that one time, we need to grow this down. I was like, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. We had more spiritually mature students. We were able to do a lot more investment in students. And I think we bared a lot of fruit. It's just, I guess I'm kind of thinking through it in real time. Like if you have a comment or you have a question, or maybe you hate what I'm saying right now, like leave us a comment on YouTube or send us an email or something. I'd love to have an interaction with you about it. It just seems like the philosophy of ministry that is like, do everything you can to get people in the building or get people to a party or get people to an event. It just seems like it does not actually produce much. Mm-hmm. And there's so much ministry that is like something else first and then Jesus. I just don't think it's helpful, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting that you're saying all that because that was, I remember the process happening. That was a very gradual realization for us. And I remember when you first started talking about it, it was like, you're going to do what?
Yeah. Like,
but if you think real life, like Jesus was not out saying like, hey, come check out this great new boat that I'm going to have for you guys to fish on.
Right.
Like it wasn't like that. Like Jesus really, truly just met people right where they were and said, hey, give up your life and follow who I am. And did things that just like radically changed how the world did things. And it really made a lot of people hate him for that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of truth to be said about the fact that, yes, the world will hate you. It's not something to like...
We're not trying to cause
right,
that.
Right. We're not like looking for conflict, certainly. We've been talking a lot about just recently compromising and what it seems like the world, and even sadly, the church is mm-hmm. willing to do to compromise mm-hmm. to get people to just join the number rather than actually accept Christ fully and reject sin fully.
Well, I know like a very active conversation I would have on many instances was like, hey, it's really cool. We're like trying to get everybody we possibly can in the building. Like, when are we going to actually teach them the truth about following Jesus?
Yeah.
And the response oftentimes was like, well, we'll just get him in and like, we'll do that eventually. But like, unfortunately, seriously, we never got around to it.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's so enticing because you're loved and appreciated so much by so many people. And like when my ministry start like when less kids started coming, you would get comments like, "Oh man, it's a pretty light night in here." And like people know not to complain. But you do get feedback that's really interesting that's mm-hmm. like, "I don't really love how you're not doing cool games anymore." Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying don't be fun, but I'm saying definitely don't compromise. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure that people understand who Jesus is, what it means to follow Jesus, preach the hard stuff. Like, there are some hard things about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. And if you don't do that, your joy will be less full. Like, we want full joy. We need to commit to following Christ completely.
So I think that would probably be your part for today. Just not compromising on the things that God is explicit on in the Bible, and what Jesus preached in his ministry explicitly. So not compromising. And also at the same time, we want to make sure that whatever you are doing, if for the kingdom of God, it's for his glory and not your own. Mm-hmm. Don't compromise just for your own glory, for your own ability to save face among the mm-hmm. world. Because ultimately, the world isn't going to last forever. It's what God says and his kingdom and his word that lasts forever. So take that seriously today as you are moving throughout your day, hopefully finding those moments that may perhaps cause a little cognitive dissonance where you need to decide for yourself. Are you compromising for the sake of your own glory, or are you going to stick to God's word and give him the glory in those situations that might not be as comfortable? So thanks for joining us today. We'll be back again for John 16 tomorrow. Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.